Welcome to the Vineyard Church Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information on this podcast or other resources, go to vineyardlive.us. To learn more about us, go to thevineyardchurch.us.
Christmas, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, all of you in Sullivan. We're glad to be together today in Bloomington and online, too. We're one big happy family. And I love it at this crazy time of year that we take time each weekend to really turn our attention to the King whose birthday we are celebrating. And our message series, Presents, the first Christmas gift, is to empower us to learn how to do that better. Keep our attention on him. So I'm going to continue that today, and just join me as we welcome him to teach us. Yeah, Father, we're thankful that we're not left to ourselves. Whether it's teaching, or receiving, or worshiping, you are here. You are in us and with us. We want to honor your presence today. We want to learn from you. Open our hearts and minds again. Teach us. Empower us with your grace to love you more, to love one another, to truly celebrate what you have done for us and in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our family has a gift-giving tradition where everyone hands me a list, and on that list are four items: something I want, something I need, something to wear, something to read. So that makes gift-giving a little bit easier, although I must say when our family was 13 or 14 people, it was great. Now that it's 29, you can do the math, and that's a lot of gifts. And I just say praise God, you know, for online sales, but most of all, praise God for Happy's credit card. And he is very generous. He doesn't want to do any of the shopping, but hey, he goes, go right ahead. And so I've noticed lately, though, the favorite category always is something I want. Right? And there's been kind of an uptick as our grandkids have gotten older. I mean, Nintendo Switch, have you priced those? Like iPad, Nike shoes. Yeah, there's been kind of an uptick there, but it's all good. When I think, though, about something I want, not just for Christmas, but I'd say for life, what would that be? And I don't think we need to do a Google search, although I did. And I found, you know, people are pretty consistent in what they really want. Number one, they want happiness. They want joy. And that's not a surprise because depression is rampant in our culture. And secondly, they want to live without fear and anxiety. They want peace. And that's hard to come by. Of course, people want health, right? I mean, so many of us afflicted by sickness and disease or just lack of energy, people want health. You know, people, they're desperate for love, for friendship. It's now documented that loneliness is an epidemic in our country. I mean, of course, people list money, of course, but money can't buy any of the above, although there is one gift, and it's the gift we're talking about in this series, one gift that supplies all of the above, including provision. The gift of presents, the first Christmas gift. God himself actually coming not only to be with us, but in us. He is unspeakable joy. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the all-wise God. He is the healer. He is the provider, the protector. He is all that we could possibly need or want. And he is available for all of us and longs to live inside of us. In a way that we know that, we're aware of that, we experience that, we enjoy that. How is that possible? I think that's a good question. And when the story of Christmas and the story of the cross come together, we see clearly how that's possible. This is a brief review from last week where we read in John about Jesus, the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And then what? He goes on to say, to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We actually get to become sons and daughters of the living God. And it says, if you read that whole text, not by the will of flesh and blood, but by the will of God. Do you know you're here by the will of God? You've been born again by the will of God. He loves you. He's delighted that you are a son, a daughter. And he wants to make life here joyous and peace-filled so much. Jesus went on to say before he died, I'm going to ask the Father, he will give you another helper who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. He lives with you now, but he will be in you. And that is the amazing first gift of Christmas, the best gift, the greatest gift that keeps on giving, the presence of God himself. The presence is a person, the person of God, the Holy Spirit living in us. So today I want to look at, okay, how do I actually experience that? How do I enjoy him living in me? I mean, let's be honest. If the living God is inside of us, wouldn't we know it? You know, like, wouldn't it be more obvious? Well, there's some truth to that, although it's not automatic, and it takes faith to enjoy and to experience that presence. And I think legitimate issues that people often bring up is, I don't think God would want to take up residence in my life. I'm not good enough. You know, I've made a lot of messes. You know, yeah, I'm not spiritual enough. No, I don't qualify. Or I just think that's kind of weird. Like, oh, does he take over my personality? Do I become some Christian clone? You know, those are all really good questions. I'm not going to answer all of them today, but I'm going to share about an ancient practice. An ancient practice I was introduced to about 35 years ago. It's not a new thing to me. This isn't just a podcast that I heard last week. This is actually something I've done for many years. I, along with probably millions of people throughout church history, have done this. I'm not an expert, so don't hear that. I'll share my failures too. But I stand here today and I can confidently say I have learned how to experience, how to enjoy the presence of the Almighty God all day long, in every day, every way, in every situation, no matter how stressful, no matter how extraordinary, no matter how ordinary. The presence of God changes everything. The presence of God changes me. You know, I have learned he actually really loves me. You know, not some sanitized version of me. You know, not some, I did that perfectly me. No, he loves me. He died for me. He made me new and holy. And yes, while I might do disappointing things, and I do, I am not a disappointment. So I have learned to live in the reality of his love and his acceptance. I have learned to surrender my fear to him, fear that comes regularly, like last Saturday night when we get the call that our oldest granddaughter, 15 years old, is held at gunpoint and robbed in a suburb of Chicago. She's okay, but trust me, that's an occasion for fear. But I've learned how to surrender that, how to tap in to the fact that the Prince of Peace lives in me. I've learned, even when the doctor says my youngest son at a very young age, in his 20s, has cancer. Thank you, Lord. You give me peace. Thank you, Lord. You give me faith for trusting you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You provide strength and power to overcome when I'm tempted. When I just want to give in or give up, you are there. I have learned to practice the presence of God every day, all day, in every way, by his grace. And so can you. This isn't just for pastors or old people. You know, it's for everyone, everyone. And that's what I want to share with you, because I have learned to practice his presence, living constantly in his presence, listening to him, and not always the easy part, obeying him. Now, my message today is called Practicing His Presence. And please, don't miss the verb, practicing, because this is a practice, and it takes practice. It takes choice. It takes a decision of your will to, I will, Lord, I will tune into the fact that you're in me. I will pay attention to your voice. I will. Not willpower, but a choice. And you might have to make that choice over and over and over, multiple times in one day. You're choosing. Oh, that's right, Lord. I love you, Lord. I thank you for living in me, Lord. But it takes practice. I've learned, as you heard me say, this isn't automatic, as many things aren't in our walk with the Lord, because he so honors faith that we trust him and believe him even when we can't feel it or it doesn't seem like it. So I have learned. He is not leaving. Do you know he actually wants to do life together? He's really interested in all of our life. Our school life, it's awesome to have the Lord take a test with you. It's awesome to have him on the volleyball court with you. It's awesome to have him there when you're changing poopy diapers or whatever you're doing. The Lord loves to do life with us. He also loves to give us miraculous answers to prayer. And I want you to know, when you practice the presence of God, your prayer life will explode. Why? Jesus said, if you abide in me, if you live in me, if you dwell in me, in other words, you're living in his presence, he said, you can ask whatever you want. It's going to be done for you. That's a key to answered prayer. And so my question now is, why don't we? Like, why don't we do this? Why don't we practice his presence or abide in him? Well, there's lots of reasons, two of which I'm going to key in on today. And the first one, it's a very obvious one, distraction. Come on, we're all distracted. Our lives are going helter-skelter in all different directions. And with no thanks to those little phones, we are distracted. And all the technology in our life, aren't we? I'm just as guilty. And that, I have found, is one of the biggest deterrents, one of the biggest thieves of the presence of God in my life. I just get distracted. I forget all about him. I'm not necessarily doing anything bad. I'm just not thinking about him. I get distracted. Now, secondly, though, and this is a bigger issue, and it's one I've had to learn the hard way, something that has obscured the presence of God, that diminishes my experience of him living in me, is disobedience. He is, after all, the King. He is the Lord. He's actually provided everything we need to walk in his ways. And when we choose not to, the presence doesn't depart. Oh no, that's the old covenant. The presence, he stays, but it's as though he retreats. His voice isn't quite as loud. It's diminished. So both distraction and disobedience in many ways can hinder our experience of the presence of God in us. Well, for our text today, before I get to the just nitty-gritty, how do you do this, I'm actually going to look at part of the Christmas story. And I'm going to use the Passion Bible, one of my new favorites. It just has brought the scripture more alive to me, and I've been enjoying it. But I'm going to look at the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Those are the parents of John the Baptist. He was the cousin of Jesus. He was the forerunner of Jesus' ministry, born, you know, just a little bit before Jesus. And his story is told in Luke chapter 1. I'm going to tell you most of the story versus read it, although I'll mention a few texts. But what I think is interesting, whenever I read the story of, you know, different people in the Bible, I have to remind myself, these are real people. Like, maybe that doesn't happen to you, but I'm like, oh no, these aren't mythical characters. These are flesh and blood, you know, men and women who lived. And I think we can learn so much from that, because what God has done for one, he's no respecter of persons, he'll do for others. We can learn so much as we look at how he interacted. So we have Zechariah. He's an old Jewish priest. His wife is just as old, Elizabeth. Most scholars think probably between 70, 80 some years old. So, you know, they're not young anymore. But I love how the Passion Translation, along with the Message, describes them. They are virtuous lovers of God, followers of all his commands, walking blamelessly with God and enjoying a clear conscience. Sign me up. Don't you want to be a virtuous lover of God? Walking blamelessly in all of his commands and enjoying a clear conscience. It's awesome. Well, what can we learn from them? Because I want you to know their life wasn't perfect by any means. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us they were deeply saddened. They lived with shame because they'd been unable to have their own child. And this was very shameful in the Jewish culture. And of course, brought great sorrow to their life. So we have these old, sad, shame-filled, obedient lovers of God. Wow. So often, disappointment, discouragement, unanswered prayers, it hinders my faith. It hinders my awareness of God's presence. It diminishes it. But they show us, no, in spite of that, they loved God. They obeyed God. They walked with God. You know, obedience matters to God. It matters to Him. It makes a difference to Him. You know, sin, selfishness, there's no question. It totally diminishes the awareness of His presence in our life. It robs us of so much joy and so much peace, so much faith. So, back to the story. We have Elizabeth, we have Zechariah. They have one main lesson that I want to focus on with their life and what happened to them, and it is this: loving obedience is essential to experiencing God's presence. Loving obedience is essential to experiencing God's presence. Okay, so one ordinary day, Zechariah, he's a priest. He's one of 20,000 priests in that day. He's entering into the temple to offer incense into the Holy of Holies, the actual place where the presence of God manifests under the Old Covenant. What's interesting is only once in a lifetime would a priest be afforded this opportunity, and today is his day. He was chosen by lot. So he's standing before the altar, he's offering incense, he's worshiping God, when all of a sudden, Gabriel, an angel from heaven, appears to him. Now, let me just say parenthetically, we totally believe in angels. Absolutely. And angels bring an amazing expression of supernatural presence of God. So be alert, be aware. They're probably filling this room right now. I never can see them, but people tell me they're here all the time. And we had a couple stay with us last week, and he got up in the morning, and he goes, "Oh, my bedroom was filled with angels all night long." I'm like, "Hap, let's move to that bedroom." I mean, really, I've not had that experience. All that to say, though, angels are real, okay? They're here. They're ministering spirits sent forth. So Zechariah is greeted by Gabriel, but he's startled. He's totally overcome with fear, as I think many of us would be. And Gabriel says, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God is actually showing grace to you. He wants to answer your prayer." I don't think was for the prayer of a child, but he's going to go on, and he said, "I've come to tell you your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You're to name him John. His birth will bring you much joy and gladness." Can I just say, God so wants to answer that prayer that you think he's never going to answer, and he delights in bringing joy and gladness into your life. We just don't like his timing. Right? Well, let's go on. "You're going to bear a son, so much joy and gladness. He's going to actually be one of the great ones in the sight of God. You are to name him John. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit while he's still in his mother's womb, and then he will go before the Lord, and he will be a forerunner with the same power and anointing as Elijah the prophet." So this is amazing. God's presence changes everything. It does. In just a moment, his presence. I mean, we carry it, but those times when, boom, he intersects, we're aware, he's speaking, he cares. He actually cares about all of our personal needs. He cares about all the burdens that we're carrying in our life. And he's ready to bring supernatural help and joy. He is. Some of you are in some impossible situations. Just be alert for his presence. So Zechariah says, "Whoa, how do I know this can happen? I mean, I'm an old man. My wife is way too old to carry a child. I mean, what sign can you give to me to prove this will happen? Not a good idea. I am Gabriel, he says. I stand in the throne room of God himself, and he has sent me to announce this good news. Now, since you did not believe, trust me, faith is really important to God. Since you did not believe, you will be stricken silent. You'll be unable to speak until that child is born. It's not a good idea to argue with an angel. It's not a good idea to ask for a sign. Some of you need to hear that. God wants us to believe. Well, it's actually a form of disobedience when we continue to doubt and ask for more. Thankfully, God is gracious. Zechariah changes his mind, and he chooses to lovingly obey. Well, how do we know he obeyed? I mean, he did go mute right then and there. He couldn't speak. Some scholars think he even went deaf. But how do we know? Because he went home and he had to actually carry through. He had to do the deed, folks. Lighten up. This is good. I mean, don't you think it's pretty miraculous that a guy who's almost 80 could do this? I do. There was no medication back then. Okay, I'm just saying, when God works a miracle, yeah, thank you. When God works a miracle, he works a miracle. He takes an impossible situation. Elizabeth conceives. She carries that baby. And indeed, when they go to circumcise that baby boy, 8 days old, get ready to name him, Zechariah writes on the pad, his name is John, which was another act of obedience because that would have been extremely rare not to name him a family name or even after his father. And no, in faith, his name is John. And I love this. You see, that loving obedience, it released an onrush of the presence of God because the scripture tells us right then and there, Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled. Holy Spirit hadn't even been poured out yet. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He began to praise God. And he began to prophesy, and he began to say several really important things for us who want to experience and enjoy the presence of God. I'll share a little bit of this prophecy. It's fun to actually read the whole thing. Again, this is from the Passion Bible, Luke chapter 1, verse 68. He says, "Praise be to the exalted Lord God of Israel, for he has seen us through eyes of grace, and he comes as our hero God to set us free." Wow. He said, God's coming. And we discover he's not leaving. And he's not just coming, you know, to hang out. He's coming as a hero God to set us free. That's what the presence of God does. You need freedom? That's what the presence of God does. He goes on. He says, "For he has rescued us from the power of our enemies." Now, Zechariah thinks he's prophesying that we're going to be rescued, the Jews were going to be rescued from the Romans. That isn't actually what happened at all. Because when you read the rest of Luke, you discover who are the real enemies. Well, the real enemies are the principalities and powers, the demons, Satan himself, behind sin and sickness and oppression and poverty and violence and all of it. You see, the presence of God, the hero God, has come to set us free from the power of our enemies. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear calamity. You don't have to fear. I don't have to fear. We can live in the presence of the Almighty God. Why? Because our hero God came. One stronger than the strong man is on the scene. Amen. And he lives in you. It's pretty amazing. It is. Then he concludes with, "Now we can boldly worship God with holy lives, living in purity as priests in his presence every day." Again, he was prophesying by the Holy Spirit. Do you hear what he's saying? You see, with the coming of the king who will shed his blood, who will cancel every sin, past, present, and future, who makes us pure as priests before him, who can boldly worship in his presence all day long, that's the gift That's the first gift, the best gift, the ongoing gift of Christmas, the presence of God Himself. Well, how do we experience it? Again, you know, Zechariah, Elizabeth, they didn't get to experience it the way we do. But needless to say, their loving obedience brought an incredible gift of presence into their life, brought them a son that brought them joy and gladness. The experience of God Himself speaking through them, enveloping them. But how do we experience? Well, many years ago, as I said, I learned this ancient art called practicing His presence. And it is a practice. It's just the practice of giving simple attention over and over and over again, moment by moment, to the truth, the reality, I am inhabited by a person. The Holy Spirit of God lives in me. And I have learned the simple practice of listening to His voice, enjoying His presence, being empowered to obey Him, to receive from Him His wisdom, His love, His joy, all of it. And, you know, the obedience is such an important part, as we saw with Elizabeth and Zechariah. You know, Jesus said it. And again, this is from the Passion Bible. This is in John. He said, "Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands." I want to be a virtuous lover of God. I want to walk blamelessly in all of His commands. I want to enjoy a clear conscience. You know, Jesus said, okay, go on. Loving me empowers you to obey my word. Whoa. And my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make you our dwelling place. There you go. That's the gift. Loving me empowers you to obey. Lord, I want to love you more. I want to love you more. I want to obey you more fully. To know that you're delighted in me. You're not disappointed. You've paid a great price for me to walk intimately with you, to be in union with you. You are the King. And I want to bow and honor the King who lives inside of me. Now, you can practice this every day, all day long, in every way, every one of us. This isn't for special people. And so how did I learn this so long ago, 30-some years ago? Well, I want to give credit where credit's due, and I often have learned through books. This came into my hands, Practicing His Presence, and it's a very popular Christian book. This edition is written by both Brother Lawrence, who was a monk in the 1600s, and then Frank Laubach, who was a missionary in the 1900s. What I think is interesting that they record their experiences and the change that it wrought in their life, the fruit that was born, and not in good circumstances. You know, you hear monk and you think, well, sure, it's easy for him. He lived in a monastery, prayed all day. No, he worked in the kitchen, in the shoe repair. He had to go get the wine, and he was crippled. And he actually did not stumble upon this incredible act of practicing His presence until he was 40 years old. So this is hope for anyone, right? You don't have to start this when you're young. This can happen. And I think Frank Laubach was 45. So I say all that to say there's like a tremendous invitation. But it's not just for young, old. It's actually for teenagers. As a matter of fact, when I went to get this book off my shelf to do some preparation for this message, I have several copies, and I grabbed this one and I opened it. And it was like, oh, this was a gift I gave my son Jay when he was just 13 years old. And I wrote this, Jay, this book changed my relationship with Jesus. I now walk and talk with Him every moment, practicing His presence. I pray you'll always enjoy His life in you. Love, Mom. Christmas, 1998. 20 years ago. I think that son has continued to love Jesus and practice His presence. I'm not so sure as a 13-year-old he thought that was a great gift. But it is a great gift. It's offered to you today. It's offered to all of us. We can simply choose to practice His presence. wherever we are, whatever we're doing. How does it work for me? This is for me. Your personality is different from mine. I'm just going to share. I wake up in the morning before I even sit up in bed, before I have that first cup of coffee, I am tuning in to the fact he lives in me. I'm not alone. I don't have to face anything alone. I am filled with his presence. And I say, good morning, Holy Spirit. I thank you. You're giving me everything I need. What are we going to do today? And then I like to take time right there to, you know, sit up and pray and read the word and worship. But the most exciting part of practicing his presence isn't that it happens in those quiet moments when there's no disturbance and you have your Bible or your worship, on your phone. No, it's that wherever you go, whatever you're doing, he's with you and he's in you. This was such an amazing revelation for me to discover, like, Jesus actually likes to do laundry. You know what? Jesus likes to bake cookies. Jesus likes to work. Jesus likes to walk. He likes to swim. He likes to have an extra cup of coffee with me. He likes to do life. Whatever you're doing, it could be difficult, it could be easy. It's just life. Jesus loves it. I used to have this idea, you know, this religious idea, that you could only really tap into his presence when you were being super spiritual. And then I discovered that's actually like his least favorite time. You know, like if you're bored with your devotions, he's probably bored too. So change it up, right? Because he wants to do life with us. And it's so much fun to do that. And I've learned many, many lessons, all of which I like to record in a journal. And so I'm going to share three of those with you quickly as we conclude. Three lessons I've learned about practicing his presence and the way this works. Again, remember, it's a choice. You do it over and over. Will you fail? Absolutely. I have failed. I still fail. But I want you to know it's worth it. It's a habit worth giving time and attention to. But I had to learn to trust that he really does love me. And we can say that, but it really wasn't until we as a church embarked on this journey of the triune gospel, the truth that I am a righteous, holy, clean, blameless daughter in his eyes, that I really discovered I don't have to walk in shame. I don't have to feel condemned about mistakes or sins that I commit. I have to return to his presence immediately and just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making me clean and holy. Thank you for coming to live inside of me. Thank you. I don't have to be so sin conscious. I'm now son conscious, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow. That's changed my practice of his presence. Number two, I have had to trust he never leaves. And, you know, it so often feels like it. Like, I'm not aware of it. It's like, is he gone? No. I'm just, like, I'm preoccupied. And this, I learned this lesson from William Paul Young, the author of The Shack. He said, learn to live in the grace of one day. See, God gives you grace for today, daily grace. Grace, that's his favor, his empowering, his influence to do what you can't do, no matter what it is. But instead, we don't live in the grace of today. Why? We're always future tripping. You know, we're worrying about, oh, I got this test this week. Oh, I've got that responsibility. Oh, no, what if that happens? Most of that never does happen. We've wasted the grace of today. Stop future tripping. And this has brought so much more awareness. I say, I can enjoy the present in his presence. No future tripping. And last but not least is the one I've been alluding to all day. I've learned to trust that he really does know best, and I need to choose to obey him. You know, it can be big things. It can be little things. It can just be like, okay, we're watching a movie, and I hear his voice. Di, I don't like this movie. I'm going to turn it off, Jesus. You're right. Or it could be, you know, tell Hap you're sorry for your bad attitude. It's really bad. Or it could be send your mom a card, you know, or pray for that Uber driver. I mean, it can be anything. It's just he comes, he speaks, we say yes. Loving obedience is essential to experiencing his presence in all of its fullness and all of the joys that it brings. You know, as we head into this season, I want to challenge all of us Let's say no to distraction and no to disobedience. Let's say yes to practicing His presence every day, every way, all day long. And trust me, you will have joy unspeakable. You will have peace that passes understanding. You will have faith for the impossible. So, Father, You've given us this gift, and I thank You for grace to receive it, to live in the truth of it, and to enjoy Your presence. In Your name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the message today. To experience more powerful messages, go to vineyardlive.us or join our Vineyard Live Plus community to view conferences, trainings, and special teachings.